That's what it's all about.
Blog Talk Radio.
Get the talk.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
The way we do it.
Get settled, gentlemen. We're ready.
Left my earbuds.
Woohoo!
All right. As long as I leave my wallet in El Segundo, though.
Left my wallet in El Segundo. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Yo! That's how we kick it off, man. Again, welcome to
back on y'all.
Talking sports. Talking sports with the 12th man. That's like the funky Del, the funky Homo sapien, native tongue. I mean, you know, that's the whole like, you know, era that I was just like, that was like the glory of hip hop back in the days. You know, Tribe, you know, Abstract. Q-Tip. I mean, man, I can go forever. Okay, I gotta talk sports.
Watch y'all back on that,
gentlemen. You guys are looking good. We're here because we're ready to kick off. You know, season 6, episode 248 of Talking Sports with 12th Man. It's been an interesting couple of days, and we're here to just also be a support system. Because whenever we were talking last week, somebody's going to be happy, somebody's going to be sad, you know. But we're going to talk about all that tonight. So without further ado, let's check in with the fellas. I'm going to cautiously check in with my guy, JQ, make sure how he's doing, man. So JQ, you know, we just do this every time we start, man. So that's just why I'm starting with you as always, man. So you doing all right, man?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
That's all he's got. Okay, all right. We're gonna control JQ later, man. It's all good. We got a lot to talk about that too, because you know, that was a interesting game, and I don't know whether it's better to lose close or lose big, but you know, we'll dive into that too as well too. So,
it never,
you know,
feels good to lose.
We are glad that. It never does, but that's what I'm saying. You know, close. You know, getting blown out, getting close. I mean, you know, but we'll talk about that too, because you know, I do share a lot of pain with you, JQ, but it's all good, man. So. Looky here, Herm Edwards. We'll talk to you soon, bro. T. Bob, how you doing, bro?
Hello.
Can't do it. Who's that? Can't win with them. Can't do it. Won't do it.
I'd rather play with 10 guys. If we're going to have one guy that's going to act like a nitwit.
Oh, I thought here about that whenever they have the commercial with him and Ronnie Lott and Marcus Allen. I was like, man, that dude was a terrible coach. Great football player. He was already a Baylor, but, you know, yeah, it's not good, not good. Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Great players, great coaches.
Sure indeed. How you doing, Rob, for the first time, man? You all right, bro? Yeah, okay.
If you guys haven't seen it on HBO, Terry Bradshaw, and it's the weirdest thing, he has a musical group, and he actually has a country western hit, but he's in concert, and he goes over his past with Pittsburgh, and he talks real deeply about being benched. He was the first person picked in his draft, and the first three times he touched the football, there was safety. And he said he never could be defensive. He always threw to whoever he thought was open. And he said him and Chuck Noll, even when Chuck Noll died, he didn't go to the funeral. Him and Chuck Norris did not get along. And they showed in this little documentary people hanging pistols, hanging them, lynching them in the stands. He said his whole world turned up to the Immaculate Reception. Once Franco Harris, and what I remember about it was Atkins and Tatum. I knew who Atkins and Tatum was for the Oakland Raiders. I was a child. My aunt lived next to him in Oakland. I mean, one of those guys paralyzed somebody in the NFL. They all sting me. Those guys wouldn't, they weren't full of crap. Those men were bad. And they would hurt you. And that's what happened in the Immaculate Reception. He tried to take somebody's head off. The ball deflected. And Franco was in the right place at the right time. Terry said he didn't see the play at all because, of course, he got sacked after he beat back. But that changed everything for the Pittsburgh Steelers and went on the history. But it's a great documentary that I hope you guys all get a chance to see about Terry Bradshaw. And like I told Gary on Super Bowl night, he beat two great Cowboy teams in the Super Bowl. And in the between the two that he didn't win, Oakland Raiders won a Super Bowl and the Cowboys won a Super Bowl. And he's still the only quarterback to go back and back twice. No other quarterback in the history of this game. Not even Tom Brady. And he mentioned Tom Brady. And he mentioned, Brady lost three. That no other quarterback has gone back and back twice. There's five that has had back-to-back, but not back-to-back twice. Not back-to-back twice. Minnesota Vikings were the first one.
Jim Kelly went too, right?
Cowboys were the second one.
Okay.
Cowboys was the third one. And the L.A. Rams was the fourth one with Vince Guaraldamo and the bad guys they had on the defensive line then. Great documentary. And I put it, nobody talks about them. But I know across America, and I know because of Fox. In middle America, Terry Bradshaw is a big name. He's a big hero.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a bumpkin. And he'll tell you so. He wasn't smart at all. But he had an arm. And boy, did he have some all-stars around him. He had Chuck Noll, new talent, and got a lot of talent around him to make that team what they were.
And Curtis and I are doing fine. Thank you very much for asking.
Hey, just text us what the documentary too, Gary, and we'll take a peek at that too. So we appreciate that. What Curtis talked about. So yeah, besides JQ, don't text it to JQ. You know what I'm saying? He wants to see no part of that. look at JQ. Hey, really quickly, shout out to my guy Duke if he's checking in. He's my guy in Charlotte too. Hopefully Duke is checking in from Charlotte, showing us love, listening in, if you will. If you want to call into the show, the number is always the same, the 424-243-9519. Follow us in that aspect. Check us out on Twitter at the number 12THMAN Sports. I got to get this in. And then we're also on Facebook.com / Talking Sports the 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find that as well. We've got a lot of topics to get into. I know we're going to try to soften the blow with JQ to start off with the mock draft, and then we'll get into some Super Bowl talk. But, you know, Rob, we always appreciate you doing the mock draft, and we just mentioned the aforementioned Talking Sports 12th Man page where the draft has been posted tonight. So thank you, Rob, for doing that. And we'll ease into what we're going to talk about as well, too. So, Rob, talk about the mock draft and what can we expect going into next year's draft, if you will.
Well, you know, right now the big piece is the edge rushers. I mean, that's a boatload of talented edge rushers in this draft, and that's going to be the prize. I mean, there's a lot of depth if you need edge rushers in this draft this year. You know, we start right off from the back with two of the top five picks, Aiden Hutchinson, edge rusher from Michigan, having gone number two to Detroit, and Kayvon Thibodeaux, edge rusher from Oregon, having gone to the Jets to go to play with Robert Saleh. So, I mean, that's then I have David Ojabo, edge rusher from Michigan, going to Denver at number nine. So, you know, a lot of depth at the edge rusher. Some really good offensive linemen in this draft, too. Evan Neal, having gone number one at Jacksonville, offensive tackle from Alabama. Akeem Ekwonu, offensive tackle from NC State, going to the New York Giants. Charles Cross, offensive lineman from Mississippi State, who can play guard or tackle, having gone to Carolina at number six. So definitely a lot of talented offensive linemen draft as well. So that's a pretty good depth at the cornerback position, too. So it's pretty good depth there as well. So it's going to be really intriguing. I got Derek Stingley, the cornerback from LSU, the top corner, having gone number seven to the Giants. The Giants come out of here and get Akeem Ekwonu, offensive tackle, and then come back with Stingley. That's a pretty solid draft at 5-7, if that takes place for them. So looking at Falcons taking Kenny Pickett, quarterback from Pittsburgh, first quarterback off the board, to get ready to prepare to replace Matt Ryan. I'm taking George Pickens, wide receiver in the second round, you know, 6'3", talented. But I still don't think we've seen the best of him, you know, due to some of the injuries he's had in colleges. But the athletic ability and the talent, the size, you know, and the speed that he has, I think could be prolific at the pro game. And then another edge rusher in the second round. I got the Falcons taking Drake, defensive end, 6'4", from USC, about 270, 275 pounds. Really good, solid edge rusher you get in the second round of the draft for the Falcons there. The Cowboys, I got them taking Andrew Booth from Clemson. In the first round, and then I got him coming back and taking Abraham Lucas, offensive tackle from Washington State. I've had him tied to the Cowboys in the second round for quite a few mock drafts right now. Then the Bengals, I got him taking Logan Hall, defensive lineman from Houston in the first round. Then I got him coming back with Rashid Walker, offensive tackle from Penn State, 6'6", 324 pounds, and if you watch the Super Bowl and most of the season, the Bengals probably going to need to address the offensive line in both free agency and the draft. Joe Burrow got sacked 70 times when you look at the regular season. And no, that's a true fact. 70 times, 51 in the regular season, 15 in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did get sacked a lot.
So, obviously, if there's one thing the Bengals need to do. They need to improve that offensive line, like I said. I think you're going to have to address. Not only you need starters, but they're going to need depth on their offensive line, too. So they're going to have to address it both from a free agency standpoint as well as a draft standpoint. And then when you look at my beloved Saints, I got to take the Kobe Dean, linebacker from Georgia. Obviously, we got an all-pro linebacker. He's getting up in age, but obviously he's still playing at a high level now. How long he's going to play at that level, we'll have to see. Then we have the Quan Alexander, who's a free agent. So, you know, we'll have to see if the Saints are able to keep him or not.
I know the Saints are high on Pete Werner, but I think we're going to need some help at the linebacker position. They're going forward. And then in the second round, got the Saints taking a quarterback, Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati.
Ooh.
You know, I still think it's going to be important for the Saints to bring back, but I do think drafting a quarterback could be important for this team. Taysom Hill, we just need to totally end that experiment. Dude's not a quarterback. You know, be the cat, press player, whatever. But for that experiment, back of quarterback should be in, should be over. Obviously, the rest of the draft, you can catch it on our Talking Sports with the 12th Man page. It's first round and second round. Got any questions or comments about it, you know, let us hear about it. Be happy to comment on it.
There it is.
Yeah. I think it'll be a full-blown ride in Cincinnati if they don't go off of the line in the first three picks. But we'll see.
Yeah. Hey, you got to see what they do in the free agency, too.
Free agency, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Curtis, Gary, what you got? What you think about that?
Well, I'm going to be watching Tipper, though. See if he can turn into a monster. I mean, the best athlete on that field in the Super Bowl might have been Earl Donald.
He could play the game.
Maybe play the game. Win that game for the team. Can Timberville be a similar guy? That's what I'll be watching for. Is Thibodeau. If I get fortunate enough to be around for another football season. But in all honesty, sadly for me, it's day by day for me, and getting to next year for me is just, I can't see that far. I can't.
Well, for Curtis, he's looking at life one day at a time, but the one thing that he looks forward to in that one day at a time is the one time each week we get together. Our all-star team gets together.
Yeah.
You know, it's huge for us. We appreciate you guys. And I want to get into this next topic, which is I don't want to just talk about Cincinnati right off the bat. Let's talk about the whole playoffs this year. Every game, all the way through, both NFC and AFC, you know, in so many years that we've seen teams that were just over the years, you know, light years ahead of other teams at different times, where they just blew through the playoffs and you pretty much knew who was going to win. You know, it was just a matter of who they were going to match up against. So many years. And then this year came along, and every game seemed to be a nail biter. Every game seemed to come down to the last few crucial moments of the game. And last week when we were talking about it, I thought it would be more of a defensive game than most people. And that first series of this game, Rams get the ball first, and all of a sudden Stafford's on his ass. And, you know, and they knocked him around, and they're free and out and done. I'm like, well, if this is any indication whatsoever, this is going to be one hell of a long night for the Rams. But it was like that way for both teams. And both of those teams, and just like, you know, I had mentioned in a couple of text messages, you know, to JQ, you know, and I talked about him, he should be proud of his team. I'll tell you what, I was proud of his team. Even though they lost, I was proud of this team because they came to play. They played a good game. That game could have gone either way. Both teams missed opportunities. Both teams had questionable calls at different times.
Right.
But to have two teams that really wanted it like this was just a really entertaining Super Bowl to me. The Rams won, and you know I'm happy because it was my dad's team. So I'm going to tell you a personal story. We had a little Super Bowl party over Curtis's, and I had to get home for some stuff that I had going on at home. So I left shortly after halftime, and I hauled ass for home, and I watched the rest of the game. And as the time ticked off the clock, and I knew that the Rams were going to win, I just lost it. I just lost it. You know, my dad's picture is right up above the TV, and I just looked up at him, and he had a smile. You know, Rob knows the picture I'm talking about. It was at his funeral, and he's just smiling, and I'm just as I'm going through the last stages of the game, my dad had poor eyesight, so I would always, okay, Dad, it's 3rd and 3. The Bengals have the ball on the, you know, the 35-yard line. We got to stop them now. And, you know, I would give him all – I would be his play-by-play, whether it was basketball, baseball, or whatever, you know, or football. And that was a special moment for me. But at the same token, I understand, you know, that this Super Bowl, when our teams go to it, teams, they don't know us, but it's personal for us, and it's deep. And I knew that, you know, that that loss was, you know, was really hard on JQ, and I want JQ to know that, you know, I wasn't necessarily, you know, rooting for your team, but if any other year, in any other circumstance, I would have been right there with you. But I had so many calls from all of my friends that knew my dad, and they all called and said, I can't believe it. Dad's team won. You know, he's looking down at us, and, they won. And it had nothing to do with trying to rub it in on JQ or anything like that, because I have a lot of respect for everyone on this podcast, especially the GOAT. But – thought I'd throw the goat in there for you, huh? But I want you to know that Curtis and I were rooting for the Rams, and we had a young lady here that was rooting for Cincinnati, and she says, oh, I better not sit on the couch. Is this Rams? I said, you sit wherever you want. We're just having fun, you know. But Curtis had a good time. He had a good Super Bowl, so I had a good time. And JQ, congratulations to your team, and they will, you know, as hard as it is to get back, as we all know, as hard as it is to get back to the dance, to the show, my team hasn't done it for damn almost 3 decades. So as hard as it is, your team will be in that conversation, you know, for quite some time. So congratulations to you and your team.
I mean, but what I want to say, both teams are individual conferences that don't play. Pittsburgh's going to be ready next year. Baltimore's going to be ready next year. Baker Mayfield, if he doesn't pick it up,
he's not going to be ready next year.
He's not going to be ready next year. But that division, Cincinnati is not going to be guaranteed to win it. And guess what? Neither will the Rams.
No.
Rams are in the same kind of predicament. They're in a division they may not win next year.
Different team. Yeah. Yep, good stuff. Good stuff. We'll finally let JQ answer in a quick second. I just want to say you went totally different. We didn't get a chance to finish talking about the draft, Gary, real quick. But I did want to say for the Falcons, hopefully we get Jermaine Johnson, the edge rusher from Florida State, and Christian Watson in the third round, the second of our picks. And then I think we're looking at Nicholas Frett from Ohio State. That's what I'm thinking that we're going to get as far as our draft, too. But really quickly, talk about the Super Bowl, and we'll let JQ talk here. I'm just kind of – great game, by the way. A couple interesting facts that I think Aaron Donald was like a three-star coming out of I think high school, and I think Cooper Kupp was a zero-star. Tyreek Hill was a zero-star. If you think about a couple people that didn't have – it's crazy how they've been elevated that, too. But
I'm not sure why you didn't double recruiting. Yeah.
It was crazy. But I'm not sure why you didn't double team Aaron Donald on that last play. That's just we'll talk through that too. All I know is Ja'Marr Chase just obliterated Jalen Ramsey the whole night, man. He was open on that last play too. So if you're like the Bengals, you're like, he would have had just a little bit more time. That could have been over. But, again, obviously big players step up and Aaron Donald made the play, and you're like, you know, but that's why, you know, not to, like, beat that dead horse, but it's just one of those, you know, inches, if you will, too, because we've both been on situations, and I go back to Falcons whenever, you know, we didn't run the ball and Boyd misses a block and the guy's open. So, like, you're thinking it would have happened that too. But like Gary and Curtis said, JQ, not to hang your head. It was a great game. I know it's painful that you lost that close by the last play, but the situations that happened, and you know, there's a couple of calls that went back and forth. Cooper Kupp call, you know, I didn't know why he wouldn't get double teamed too, because once OBJ was out, you know, it's crazy how the Rams did just enough. And then, like you said, you knew the Bengals were gonna. They had that quick passing play that kept everyone off guard. They did just enough running. I would ask you if you think that Cincinnati needs another running back, or that's just improving the offensive line too, because not that Mixon played bad, but just if you need somebody else kind of like to balance it out too, just more of a bruiser, just kind of get you some stuff too. Because it reminded me of back in the day of Icky Woods, man. They had a couple of commercials with him, and I was like, that was just great seeing the Icky Shuffle back in the day too. But there you go, JQ, man. Now is the time, sir. You can have the floor, my friend.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, Gary, I appreciate that, man, and then, you know, congrats on the win. It was a close game. I knew one of us was going to be happy, one of us was going to be sad. But you know, for your dad, you know, I, you know, for sure. I'm glad that you guys had that time and be able to sit down and, you know, kind of reflect on it. So, you know, congrats to you. The topic, you know, I didn't think was a hold. If I'm going to go what's on here, I didn't think that was a hold. On Cooper Kupp. The pass interference they called was pass interference for sure. But I just don't know if you get to that point without the hold, right? And it was a pretty evenly called game for the most part. It wasn't a ton of penalties to the end. So I just wonder why, when you probably have seen more egregious things called, you would let that one go. But I'm not going to pin the loss on that, because I'm with you. When OBJ was gone, I don't know why you just aren't putting somebody over the top, and why, for God's name, you would let Eli Apple guard Cooper Kupp one-on-one on the outside. It's mind-blowing. The Bengals had their opportunities in that game. They let it slip away. You know, I don't know why Piron is on the field on third and fourth down instead of Joe Mixon in that series. I don't know why you run the ball right at Aaron Donald, who's been terrorizing you the whole game, on third and one. Like, there's things that the Bengals don't sit there and put on those calls. You had opportunities to stop it. You had opportunities to potentially get in field goal range. Right. And the other piece of that is they, in the first half, did a really good job, you know, turning the guard to Aaron Donald. And he wasn't really blowing up the backfield as much in the first half. It was enough to chip him. But you saw the Rams figure out what they were doing. They started looping Von Miller on the inside and coming into that the space the guard had left to go to Aaron Donald. And the Bengals never adjusted to the Rams adjusting to what they were doing on the offensive line. And that's why you saw Burrow beat, for the most part, clean and have a little time in the first half, just being, you know, like no chance after that, you know, 75-yard touchdown pass to T. Higgins. So the Bengals have to own that, right? So I'm not going to sit here and say it's fully on the officials. I don't think that call was correct, but, again, they had their opportunities in that game. So, yeah, you know, it's tough to get there. And the thing about it, you know, and I'll let Rob go, as we go through here. It's just the fact that, you know, we've not been blown out. We've been in three Super Bowls in my lifetime, and we've lost the same way three times, which is why it makes this third one, you know, so hard, because you get past me like maybe this team is different. But we've lost all three on a late game-winning drive. I think we got three losses by 13 or 15 combined points across three Super Bowls, right? So when it happens again and then again and then again the same way, you know, it makes it tough. It makes it tough to deal with. Like, damn, are we just cursed? You know, are we meant to be the Bills and the Vikings where we just get there and never win one? So, you know, just, you know, working through, like, you feel like you're playing with house money, you talked about. Like, you get off the snide, you beat the Raiders, you're like, cool, we finally got that over. Then you beat the Titans, and it's like, well, hot damn, well, hold on a minute. And then, you know, it was like, well, we played the Chiefs, and it's tough, but you beat them once. So you were like, feel like you got a chance. Then they pull that comeback, and then you're in the show, right? And you're like, you know, like you talked about before, Dan Marino, thinking he's going to get back all the time, never gets back. So you can't take those chances you get to get a ring for granted, and to lose that way is tough. And I agree with Curtis that listen, that AFC is loaded, even outside the division. You still got to deal with Herbert's ass. You still got to deal with Josh Allen. So you may not get another run where you don't have to go through both Allen and Mahomes to get to the Super Bowl, right? Like, going through Tannehill and Derek Carr is a great first, second-round matchup if you look at it. You're going to deal with somebody good in the AFC Championship game. But if you script it, you can't script it any better only having to play one of those young guns and not to the AFC Championship game, right? So, that being said, they had a good season. Don't get me wrong. I'm proud, because if you told me we would have made the Super Bowl for this year's start, I'd have said, you must be on that good dope. And for them to have done that, it's still, you know, pretty amazing with a second-year quarterback, right? But they got the things they got to shore up. But, you know, when you get that close, you want to finally get out the side and be one of those people that say, you know, my team has a ring. So to lose it in a manner for the third time, exactly the same as the other two times, is tough.
You got a good young team, though, man. You shouldn't hang your head. But I think, like you said, just add some tweaks to offensive line. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is a star. You know that's the case. You know, so it's like, I get where you're coming from, too. There's other teams that are stacked, too. But you guys are extremely talented. So, you know, you fix a couple things.
Yeah.
And you learn in losses. You know, failure does allow you to get successful, because, like, hey, we can do this correctly. Or, you know, this is how, you know, you've had to figure that stuff out, too. Like Rob said, you get some offensive line. You get some depth, you know, maybe you add another piece as far as another running back to that, you know, or whatever, shore up the defense, you know, get a little stronger on, you know, defensive back, whatever, and you're right there. So,
yeah.
You know, and you hope the other teams beat each other up, right? You hope, you know, Josh Allen's and they keep beating each other up, you know, and then, you know, who knows what happens too. But you guys are extremely talented, so that's for sure. And
yeah.
I think the Rams,
so,
you know, they're probably going to, like, fade out.
Last thing, and I'll let you have it. And the thing that also just, you know, that kills you, crushes you as a dad, right? So it's been, you know, 88. So I was 13, right, when they lost to that, you know, Montana to Taylor. And my oldest is 13, and she's in there, and she's watching the game with me. And then I have, of course, she just starts falling. And I'm like, ah, because I know that feeling, right? Because that was me at 13, right, when they lost, when Montana did that to us. So then she has to go through it at the same age, you know, on Sunday, that feeling that I had, you know, I have to have her watch her go through it, you know. So, you know, I got to get myself together, you know, and, you know, hug on her and make her feel better about it. I'm like, you know, I understand what you're going through. But have that, you know, it's eerie, same age, right, to go through the same exact thing was crazy. So, it, you know, it was like, ah, it's all right, baby girl. I'll let you guys have it.
Well, you know, if a team gets to the Super Bowl, there's only one Super Bowl winner, but there are two champions.
Right.
There are two champions. There's an AFC champion and an NFC champion. And to be in that position and to be able to be in that game all the way to the end, and to be the AFC champion with – well, and for both – this goes for both teams. To be there – was, you know, and it's probably going to be our next topic on the Rams and how they got there. But for both teams to be there like that, you know, that's a feat in itself, you know. So you guys played a great game. You know, we can always look back. I remember, you know, the one thing I saw in Joe Burrow that I liked is even though he got under a lot of pressure in the second half, you know, he still held his composure. He wasn't just freaked out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I saw freaked out. I saw Tom Brady both games when he played the Giants. And that Giants front four with no extra help was getting to him with Strahan and the boys, and they were putting him on his ass. And I saw fear in his eyes. I didn't see fear in Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I was watching for that. That's a good sign. So when they say Joe cool, I mean, man, I could see that. You know, he was cool,
yeah.
And, you know, that's a good thing.
But Aaron Donald remind me of old football. The Rosie Greer, the front four at the Minnesota Vikings.
Purple People Eaters.
The Purple People Eaters. Rosie Greer.
The Steel Curtain. The Doomsday
Steel
Curtain. Doomsday Defense.
Dick Butkus. I mean, wow. And I tell you guys that story. My dad took me to football games in the 60s. I knew my dad went to Columbus East High School. There was at least 10 people that went to Columbus East High School in the 40s and 50s. That were in pro football. My dad had the guy that's got the record for running the football the wrong way after a fumble in the Columbus East High School for the Minnesota Vikings. My dad had a friend that played for the Kansas City Chiefs, the Hank Stram, and Larry Dawson. That went that way. My aunt actually lives by Akron and Tatum in Denver. Lloyd Little lives in my neighborhood, and my dad knew a guy that owned a gas station that when they wasn't playing football in the summer, and they were linemen. There was four of them. They worked at that gas station.
That's crazy. That's crazy times, isn't it?
And
that's when you couldn't make it as an NFL player if you were just you weren't that star on that team. You had to go get a second job in the offseason.
And that's how I grew up. And I've always watched, and I told Gary that story. I've always watched offensive and defensive football. I know we got these super athletes that are receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs. But real football to me is in the trenches. It's in the line. If your line are monsters, thinking of the old time with Emmitt Smith, and I knew Tournay, who went to Punahou High School in Hawaii, and a friend of mine was a left tackle on those great Cowboy teams that went to those Super Bowls. He played high school football with me in Hawaii. He was great. And you see Emmitt Smith, you see that line, they weren't moving around. They were knocking people around. And Emmitt was mean enough to get it done. And the Cowboys need to get back to that.
You know, getting back to the Super Bowl, you know, one of the things I think was disappointing to me regarding with the Bengals, in the last quarter and a half, obviously they couldn't protect for Joe Burrow, right? I was disappointed we didn't run the football enough to protect them either, and that was, to me, it was very disappointing
in the game plan. And I know it's kind of hard when you got a talent like Joe Burrow, you got all those weapons on the perimeter, you want to throw the football. But if you don't have the time to throw it and, you know, you can't get the ball out of his hands quickly, you protect him with the running game. And I was like, hey, you know, I was calling for more draws and everything else, and I saw one draw play. To me, that was very disappointing from a Bengals perspective and the way they called that game in the last quarter and a half, because they were pretty efficient with moving the football. But when, you know, when the Rams made that adjustment and the Bengals couldn't block them, I thought that was perfect time for them to mix in more runs and that. Even on that 4-1 play at the end of the game, I know they ran it on 3rd-and-1 and got stopped. You know, they could have possibly ran it again there. I know it's easy to second guess. But I thought overall in the last quarter and a half, the Bengals did not run the football enough to protect Joe Burrow. It's not always about defense off balance. It's not just about protecting them in the passing game. But if you run the ball and you're efficient with running the football, then you can open it up for the passing game a little more. So to me, that was very disappointing, you know, from a Bengals perspective in that last quarter and a half. But obviously, you know, you got those weapons. You want to throw the football. They still got to get the offensive line help in the offseason to fix that issue. But I thought they could have negated that in this football game.
I tell you, I said the same thing. I had people over,
right,
and I was like, what happened to running the ball? Yeah, go ahead,
yep.
Mark Garrett.
And you're right on that, because, you know, if you look at some of those times, how much extra time did Joe Burrow need? Just a split second longer, just that split second longer. So you run the ball, even if you get stopped, even if you just get a couple of yards, whatever.
Right.
It still that play action then still makes that defense hesitate for just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And with a guy like Burrows and the talent he has around him, that's enough time for him to get a pass off. And if he gets mm-hmm. – and when he got the pass – you saw it in these other games that he played in the playoffs. He had that little bit extra time, play action. He hit that – and then they make it to the Super Bowl because of it. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, they're not even running the ball, so these guys are just teeing up on him. They're just
teeing off.
Yeah, they knew.
Yeah,
crazy. Yeah, they knew he was going to pass.
Did you guys see in that minute 30 that Aaron Donald led his defense on the field? He got them all together. I don't know what he said, but he showed me real leadership. He took his whole defense. He put him in a huddle. And I can hear him yelling. And I hear him saying, this is now. We're going to win this game. And I got that. A minute 30, I mean, Tom Brady, maybe Aaron Rodgers, maybe Mahomes, and maybe the guy in Seattle can win that game with a minute 30. But Aaron Donald took his defense on that field, and he told him something, real leadership. I really like seeing that.
Yeah. I love seeing that, too, and the reason why I do is because I've seen my team where all of a sudden something like that happens to them in a game, whether it's regular season or the playoffs, and you're showing the sidelines, and they're just sitting there, you know, waiting for the next thing. I love it when there's a guy that's willing to get that team together and say, you know, let's go out there and kick these guys' ass, or whatever it is, or whether it's offense or defense. I always appreciate it when those guys, when they have those leaderships. I wish my team had more of those types of leaders, or at least a couple of them like that. Right now, I don't see it, but I did see it, and I in this game, and especially at the end of the game, with Aaron Donald, but that still takes nothing away from the accomplishments that the Bengals had.
Yeah. And I think for Cincinnati, too, I know all of you all touched on them being a young team and getting back to the Super Bowl in the future and things of that nature. You know, and I pretty much agree with everything you all have said. I think the Bengals are definitely going to have opportunities to get back to the Super Bowl, you know, within the next 5 to 10 years, right? Is it going to be easy for them to make it back there next year? No, it's not. I mean, you still got the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens getting healthier. Obviously, you talked about Josh Allen and the Bills, and Justin Herbert, and I think the Chargers, I think, is a rising team as well. But I think, you know, those are four legitimate teams. I think that's going to be competing for the Super Bowl probably against each other for the next 5 to 10 years, right? So I do believe the Bengals will get back there at some point. I don't know if it's going to be next year. Maybe it will be next year. But I do believe they're going to get back there at some point because of the leadership that Joe Burrow has. Then when you look at the weapons they have on the perimeter, you get Mixon, you get some offensive line help. You still need some cornerback help, but it can't be having Eli Apple starting out there, right? I know he's Ohio State guy, JQ, but, you know, he can't be starting Apple at the cornerback position. And
no, I agree.
So I think a couple of things. But, you know, you look at Kansas City, they have holes on defense, right? You look at Buffalo.
Everybody's perfect.
Buffalo struggles to run the football. So all of those teams still have something that they need to fix, right? The Chargers. They didn't even make the playoffs this year. So they still have something that needs to be fixed, right? So the Bengals will have those opportunities. We don't know if it's going to be next year, but I do believe – at some point in the next 5 to 10 years, the Bengals will be back in the Super Bowl, compete for a championship.
Yeah, and you know I'm always one. If you get that rookie quarterback on his rookie contract, you got to maximize it. So hopefully cheap-ass Mike Brown will spend some money because you know they're going to have to pay him and Jamar in back-to-back years. So while you can do these other things at other positions right now while he's still not rookie contract, you need to get to getting. I agree. I think they can be in the conversation. It's just one of those things, though, when you get there, you know, you want to maximize on the opportunity while you're there, right? So, but yeah, I don't think that they are flash in the pan as long as they can keep that core band together. They've got opportunities to be back in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, Dan Marino never went back. Totally agree with you. You want to take advantage of when you have the opportunity. Marino was second. You know, another thing for the Cincinnati Bengals to look at, this ultimately was Joe Burrow's rookie season. I think we forget he got hurt. Most of his real first season, this was practically his rookie season, went all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's unbelievable when you think about it because he missed most of his first season. And then you touched on the Mike Brown aspect. The Bengals have $46.8 million in cap space this offseason, the fourth most in the NFL. So they have an opportunity to go out and put some pieces, whether that's the offensive line, whether that's in their secondary. They have the opportunity to go out and improve some areas of their football team with the salary cap space and through the draft with a quarterback on a rookie contract. So there's a lot of opportunities out there. And whether it's – they can get another starter or two on that offensive line in free agency and maybe get some depth in the draft. I definitely think they're going to have to hit that in both areas, man. That right guard for the Bengals looked like he should have been in junior high. I mean, that dude shouldn't have been starting on an NFL team, man. They have the cap space. They don't have the draft capital to do so this offseason. It's up to Mike Brown to go out and spend the money.
Great. We got 10 minutes here, and we're gonna let JQ talk about a couple topics. We're going to talk about protecting Joe Burrow. He's not going to have knee surgery. Then we're going to turn to Gary real quick to talk about the Rams blueprint, and can they repeat? But before I do that, I just want to just comment what you said earlier, Gary, about Joe Burrow and his kind of his intangibles. This is something that Kyler Murray doesn't have, but Joe Burrow, whenever he got sacked, he just kept getting up, and, you know, he wasn't like looking at his teammates like, what the hell? You know, he just like that was amazing to see him just get up and just have that resolve, and that's whenever you need to have your team rally around you. So I agree with you, Gary, as far as how his composure and what he was able to do, and they're going to run through a wall from him whenever, you know, Aaron Donald pushes him out of balance and everyone comes in kind of, you know, come up to my quarterback, you know, so it was good to see that too. But Joe Burrow does have it figured out. Like you said, Rob, this is essentially his rookie season. So, you know, they're talented, man. So if you're Mike Brown, take advantage of this right now, man, because Jamar Chase was lighting up Jalen Ramsey. He did not have a chance, man. So, and that's right there, just off on the set for that, too. But finish those last topics. We don't have too much time here, and go from there. But go ahead.
I don't see anybody that can stop Jamar Chase. You know, we saw it in college. I don't care what corner you put on.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to come to a combination of thinking we get offensive, Joe Burrow getting rid of the football quickly. You know, to put that in perspective, I don't think Brady got sacked. Brady was sacked less than 20 times this year, and probably 10 of those came from the two games against the Saints. And, you know, so it's just it's all about the protection. And even when the Saints and Drew Brees was lighting up on offense, Drew Brees was barely sacked 12 to 15 times a game, but he had a good offensive line, and he was getting rid of the ball quickly. And that's, they can't let Burrow keep taking these hits like that. And,
that's scary when he got hit that one time. You're like,
man, my heart was in my throat. I said, oh, God. But he's a gambler. He's tough. And you're right. They've got protection. The other piece of that is that you want to keep him in Cincinnati long term. You don't want him to turn into a Carson Palmer situation where he gets, you know, burnt out on Mike Brown. I'm not doing the right thing by him. Because he could say right now, okay, I inherited this. You gave me Jamar Chase instead of giving me a tackle so you could put somebody else here and inherit guard. And I wanted Chase here, so I knew I was going to have to go through a little of that this year with this offensive line. But next year, we're not going to do this, y'all. So, you know, if they're smart, they're going to have him in there like, you know, we're getting you, Chase. That's why I say I would love to get an edge rusher because you saw Matthew Stafford had a gang of time. So they need somebody else to rotate in with Hubbard and Hendrickson, you know, to get another pass rusher on the field. But they've got to get some help. And the thing about it is they got Riley Reiff from Detroit, and he actually was playing decent, but he got hurt. And he was lost for the season with an ankle injury, and that's why you see those two guys on the right-hand side. Isaiah Prince, also a Buckeye out there struggling, getting his ass whipped by Von Miller. But he wasn't supposed to be on the field, right, because they lost Riley Reiff. So they tried. So I'll give them that. They attempted to it, but the person they went and got hurt. So to your point, get somebody in free agency. Also, build up that depth with quality depth, not somebody that you just hold your breath and close your eyes when you put him out there because you know he's going to suck. Right? So you got to get somebody that can actually go out there and do it out of the draft. But, yeah, I'm with you. They dodged a bullet with that. And I won't belabor the point. I think everybody has, you know, kind of touched on all the aspects of the game. But I'm glad he's avoided a serious knee injury, but they can't let that happen because you don't want to lose him when he's looking at the upfront office like, I'm out of here if you don't do something about this. Like, I give you this year because you gave me Jamar Chase, but right now, if you just keep Jonah Williams on the left-hand side and get rid of everybody else and figure some shit out, I'm okay with that because you saw the Chiefs do that. After the first piece of breaks off Mahomes, they went and got with Creed Humphrey and they went and got somebody else to show up the middle of that line and my home's ran a little bit for his life, but not like he was running against the Bucs last year in the Super Bowl, right? So it can be done in an offseason. Chiefs did it, right? That's not why they lost. They lost their defense. But you can rebuild that offensive line if you draft and spend smart. So we'll see, you know. Eyes on you, Mike Brown. And, I mean, they've done a good job for the most part here in the draft at the top of the draft. I worry about what they've been doing in the middle sometimes at the bottom of the draft where some of those guys they want to put in there that don't pan out. And that goes when you have a shitty scouting department. They got the smallest scouting department in the league. True. So we'll see how that works out.
Fifth round? Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, but you look at it, Carmen from Clemson sucks, can't stay on the field. Isaiah Prince sucks, turnstile with Von Miller. Like, they've had some hits, but they are missing a lot on the offensive line in the draft. They've got to get that figured out.
Yeah. We'll talk about OBJ. Gary, can the Rams – Go ahead, Rob, real quick. Yeah, go ahead.
How much was that bag from Isaiah Prince going against a guy like that? I mean, you don't expect that from a mid-round guy going up against Von Miller, too. I mean, they got to go out and get some better talent there, and either higher up in the draft or they got to go up to the top-notch free agents on the offensive line. They really do.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
They tried. Buddy from New England, he used them to get a bigger contract in Kansas City.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
Can the Rams repeat, Gary, Curtis? Can the Rams repeat?
Okay, well, can they repeat? Yes, just like Cincinnati could make it to the Super Bowl next year and win it all. the odds are stacked against them, though. Did they make some moves that made it possible for them to win it this year? They did. You know, they brought in some talent.
Yeah.
They brought in a quarterback that, you know, that was that they trusted and liked more than Goff. You know, they brought in another edge rusher. You know, these are things that are big to get to the next round. They made, but it came at a cost.
Yeah.
The cost is those draft picks that they've lost. Now we'll see what these guys have left in the tank, because you know, you guys know very well, year to year, some of these guys, they tail off quick. All of a sudden, they're not that guy. And if one or two of those guys do that, well, then the Rams are kind of in draft pick purgatory for a bit. But they did, it was a good spot for them this particular season. They went all in. It worked out. But, you know, as any game happens, I mean, you got to win a Super Bowl, you have to have a good team. You know, you have to have all the components of all that. But then you also have to have some luck on your side. Luck as far as injuries go, luck as far as just calls in the game, you know, along the way to win your division, along the way to get that spot in the playoffs, you know, that number two seed or number one seed or whatever it is. You know, you have to have all of those things kind of fall into place. So you have to be on a roll. You have to have the team that's built to win. They had that. And then they also had some luck involved with injuries and with calls in the game. So they just – the only difference between them and the Bengals is the Rams just had a little more luck in that Super Bowl.
You
got to
be hungry, too.
Both teams were equally hungry.
I don't think they'll be hungry next year. I don't think the Rams are that. They're like, hey, they seem like they're like, we got ours, we're cool. Aaron Donald's talking about riding off to the sunset. Von Miller's like, yeah, maybe, you know. Travis Stafford, I got, well, you know, they don't seem like we want to dominate forever. Like, yeah, we got ours. That's kind of how it seems for me, just honestly.
Yeah.
The same.
And it may very well be that, but look at the division that they're in. Just like Curtis and I talked about just before the podcast when we were looking at the topics. And as we were looking at the topics, Curtis looks at me and he says, they might not even win the division. You know, with the teams that they have in there, here we go.
That's a sequel. That's their number. They're finally, after 6-3 years of being known, it was timely death. They got him finally. And San Francisco is going to get rid of that quarterback and go with a younger and stronger and quicker quarterback. And that's in the direct response to the beating those Rams. Russell Wilson and those guys, they got a lot to think about. And Kyler Murray, and I'm surprised Jerry hasn't mentioned it, and I'm surprised that you guys haven't mentioned it. The two quarterbacks that were in the news today were Kyler Murray, and the Colts are going to release Carson Wentz.
Your boy?
Yep. They don't think they're going to release him. They're going to release him. Wow. Carson Wentz. They don't believe in him no more. And for good reason. The last two games of the season. But it could be that HBO feelings they were in. There was no excuse.
The hard knocks jinx.
That they shouldn't have been in that playoff. They had it all there.
The thing that's going to be hard for the Rams, and Andre kind of touched on this too, is how much turnover is going to be on the team too. And, I mean, could they still be a competitive team next year? Yeah, I mean, Andrew Whitworth is 89 years old. He's probably about to retire.
Yeah.
Well, that 89-year-old guy did all right, didn't he? Got himself a ring.
But I don't think he's going to come back. So he gave up that sack early in the game.
He did give up that sack right off the bat, but he played solid after that.
Yep,
he really did.
He had a good game. Yep, you got to give him credit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's done at the end of this year. So, you know, and the Rams don't have a first and second round pick. How much cap space do they have to replace? I mean, that's an integral part of your football team right there, the blind side of your quarterback. So how do they get that fixed? There's some other holes on the offensive line, too, that they have to look at. Now, OBJ, I know he's a free agent. You know, whether or not he was going to come back to L.A. anyway, if not, he's coming off an injury. You got Robert Woods, you know, still out there on the injury as well. Will Aaron Donald retire? Von Miller be back? You know, there's a lot of questions. Will Sean McVay be back? Although I think McVay is going to come back. I know there's some talk out there, but I think he'll be back. So, I mean, obviously the early prediction will be that I don't see the Rams back in the Super Bowl next year.
I agree.
Very early, a year away from that. But that early prediction, I don't see them being back. But they can still possibly be a still contending team. You still got Stafford. You got Kupp. You still got Jalen Ramsey in the contract. Still see them as a contending team. But I don't see them winning the Super Bowl again next year. It's extremely hard to repeat.
Yeah, well, so I'm going to take it from the other side, is that it depends on a couple things. You're right, if Aaron Donald and Von Miller, because you need those two guys on that line. But like we talked about with the AFC, like if you're the Rams and then euphoria wears off and, you know, everybody's like, we want to run this back. You look around there, Kyler Murray's good, but, you know, he's taking all his pictures of all the Arizona stuff off his page. He's really pissed at the Cardinals. What does that do to their team cohesion, their friction? Does he stay there and is he going to be happy? That affects his play. We've been talking about Russell Wilson with a foot out the door of Seattle for like the past 2 years. What's going on with that dynamic? How do they feel about each other? You know, Garoppolo's probably gone to San Francisco, so now you got a young guy.
Right.
You know, we don't know what Trey Lance is going to do. So I still feel like gives them a heads up in that division. And then when you look outside the division, the NFC, with Tom Brady being gone, you look at it, you say, well, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, but he's shown you for the past 2 years that, you know, they don't get it done when push comes to shove, right, in the playoffs, and you're like, what other good young quarterback scares me in the NFC? And you're like, there isn't one. So if you're the Rams and you figure out a way to keep some of that core together, then you got dissension in your division, and you got no real hotshot quarterbacks. I mean, I'm sorry, Dak, but, I mean, until he does, you know, goes and carries him a little farther in the playoffs, if you're the Rams, you don't fear him, right? So you got to be looking at it from the standpoint of, we could do this again because the NFC is still very ripe for the taking. Our division is still ripe for the taking, given what's going on with those quarterbacks. There's not a plethora of strong quarter. Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers is now lost. You know, he hasn't made the Super Bowl. I mean, he made the NFC Championship game, got stopped one time by the 49ers. He couldn't get it done against Brady, and then this year they lost before he even got to the NFC Championship game at home against those 49ers. So you won't say it out loud because he's the back-to-back MVP. But if you're the Rams, you're probably going to be looking like, why not? I'll look at it at the NFC. The NFC is ready for the taking. No Breeze, no Brady.
Sure.
Who knows what Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay is going to do?
Yeah.
Well, that's like they were comparing, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford both having one ring, you know. Matthew Stafford, you know, his entire career with Detroit and no chance, and Aaron Rodgers year after year with competitive teams, but still only one ring. Matthew Stafford goes to a team, and he's actually got a team around him, and in his first year,
right,
he wins the Super Bowl. I thought that was kind of humorous.
Right. That's luck, though, too, like you said.
You can't
make that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Talk about it on the show.
Talk about a little bit.
Impressive.
But we
got
to talk about
just barely beat the
Cardinals.
And they just barely beat
the people
that
put around them. And I have accused Jerry Jones of being too involved with his Cowboys. He needs to get out of that space. And I think Jerry Jones likes to be more the star than having Jimmy Johnson and great coaches outshine him. And I think that's a Cowboy problem. If Jerry Jones can get out of the way and get him a real coach, the Cowboys got a chance. But as long as Jerry Jones wants to be a star, the Cowboys are in a lot of trouble. And we don't talk about it enough. I don't understand, and I've said this a lot, four teams that have never been in a Super Bowl, Cleveland, Detroit, Houston, and Jacksonville. What do the people don't know? What does that ownership don't know? How come they don't got smart people to give the employees a chance to be a champion? And I'm going to say that right now. That's an indictment for those four teams. And if I was an athlete, I would tell them straight up, you guys have never been smart enough or expensive enough to give me a chance to be a champion. Why is that? What don't you don't know? What is it you guys don't know?
Well, they don't know.
There's smart football people out there. There's great coaches. There's great scouts. There's people that know talent. And those four teams just haven't never had the people that have been able to figure it out. And it's a damn shame. It is a real damn shame that those franchises, especially Cleveland,
especially Detroit,
and Detroit.
You know, they have Matthew Stafford, they have Megatron, they have had, you know, Barry Sanders. They've had teams out there, but they've never been able to put anything together. Stafford goes to another team, very first year. You know, he makes the playoffs and wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that
yeah.
makes to
yeah.
me that makes Detroit the most laughing stock, you know, in the NFL.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
that goes to soccer about.
Yeah.
How come they couldn't do that? But they had them, and they couldn't get people around them.
Well, and with Cleveland though, Curtis, with Cleveland, I remember Cleveland being a very competitive team, and going that who they had to go up against Denver,
right? With
Ernie Kosar and his group of guys, they did. They went up against and they played phenomenal games, but they left too much time on the clock, and you know, John Elway went down, marched down the field, and took their host.
The drive and the fumble.
Yeah, I mean they had at least they had good teams that were competitive in those days. But Detroit, not so much.
I keep trying to tell y'all. Y'all make fun of me about these cities. Don't nobody want to go play and live in no damn Detroit? They don't want to. That's part of the reason why. If you can get people to come live in L.A., nobody wants to go live in Detroit.
Hey, man, it's Motown,
problems, man.
Stop it. Nobody wants to go live in Detroit. You know, Jared Goff probably was ready to split his wrist and jump off a second-story window when they said he was going from L.A. to Detroit.
Hey,
damn.
I will say this.
Well, I saw his press conference, and he said he was happy to be here. And I got a high-definition TV, but I did see a little tear dropping down on the side. So
damn,
I think you got something
straight.
You got something here.
I will say this. Whenever you brought up Detroit, I will say the halftime show was pretty fire. So that's something I'm going to, like, definitely just, you know, that was good to see that for sure. So that was nice for the millennials. Yeah, it was like,
great.
Whoa, that was good stuff too. So anyway, and being a music fan, I was all about that too. So, you know, and seeing Eminem kneel, and so I was like, don't kneel. White folks were like, ah, Eminem. We were like so excited, man. But anyway. Rob, let's go ahead and wrap this up, man. We can talk about other topics next week, man, because I know it's been a long, long week for everyone, too. So if you're going to do fantasy shout-outs, let me know, because I'll end with that. But your thoughts, people, let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Yeah. I think both of you guys' teams were the biggest winners of the week. I'm going to pull up my notes here. Yeah. Fantasy shout-outs of the week. Andre's triple-double team, 8-1 over Bruce. Devil All-Stars and Dick Hughes, Ohio, 8-1 over the Champions here. And Dick Hughes' team still in first place at 102-50-1. So congratulations, gentlemen, having the biggest wins of the week. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to ahead and wrap up our show on tonight. We thank you all for tuning in. I know a lot of Super Bowl coverage on tonight. I'd definitely love to hear from you all if you agree with this or disagree with this. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. I'm going to be back here in Atlanta again on next Tuesday night, people. We're going to be joining you. So, Boston, make sure you're tuning in next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. I know y'all beat by like 80 points tonight. You ain't going to be able to do that too long when Harden come back, so you better get it in while you can. But Boston winning 9-0 on a roll, moved up to sixth place in the Eastern Conference. Chicago. Still holding on to number one in the East. Tune in next week, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. And all of y'all Balloon Festival fans in Albuquerque, make sure you tune in at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on next week. West Coast, Pacific Standard Time. I know we're still celebrating the Rams Super Bowl. Make sure y'all make some time for us. Show us some love. Tune in on next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you all. Great show. We'll be back at you live on next Tuesday night. If anything changes, we'll keep you posted. Good night, people.
Hey, good job, UC, locking up Luke Fickell, even though he's still going to leave. I can't believe that he only got $5 million a year. I was shocked at the number, but good job. I don't know, at least getting him under contract, but wow. Appreciate y'all.
Hey, I want to mention
something. That's a pretty good deal for Luke.
I want to hear you talk about the Blazers after they got rid of McCollum. They got rid of a lot of people. And Gary is excited about what the Blazers did after they made all these moves. Gary, talk about it.
Well, they're playing defense. Let's touch on it next week. Put that in the, topics. Let's see where we're at after that. I just want to mention Anfernee Simons, though. 30 games, 30 starts in the NBA. And for his 30 starts, no other players hit more threes in NBA history than Anfernee Simons in first 30
wow.
starts. He's lighting it up.
Wow.
Okay. The no-name Blazers.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sometimes it works.
There was a good article I sent you about Portland and C.J. McCollum, which is a really great read if you are into the Players Tribune. That was a great article. I figured you'd get a kick out of that, guys, especially Curtis and Gary. But really good stuff. But if you get a chance to just seeing how – Dame believed in CJ whenever he didn't, and just a great thing about Dame's leadership. And you make fun of players going to certain teams, but then I think you need that veteran somewhere within that team to kind of balance out some situations for sure, man. So just don't sleep on having that person that's been there, done that, just to bring that experience to a squad too. So that's my two cents. Gentlemen, have a great week. Rob, appreciate you getting the show topics as always. JQ, appreciate you showing up, man. That's half the battle is showing up. Curtis, you as well. Keep fighting, man. We're going to keep praying for you, bro. Brought a lot to the show tonight. Gary, we appreciate you guys as well. and all the good stuff. Rob, I know you're in Atlanta, man. Be safe. I know you're traveling, sir. If there's some topics, obviously, you want to move over, that's totally cool, because I know we didn't get a chance to get to all of them. You know, good stuff as always. So, gentlemen, get some rest. We'll be texting. I know we got the All-Star game coming up this week. We'll talk about chat, chat about that, if you will. And we'll just keep doing what we do. That's all I got for you guys. Unless you have anything else to say.
All right, y'all.
Be safe, gentlemen. Thank you for
your support. Good night, good people.
Thank you for your support.
Absolutely, man. Keep fighting.
We got you, man. Much love. All right, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your day or evening. Yeah, day. Good night, people.
Evening for us. Day for you guys. Rob, get some sleep. You probably got a busy day.
Yeah. It's still party time. I'm saying, I'm in California. I mean, Portland. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
All right, y'all.
Good night. Good night.